quantum is going to land much faster than we anticipate.
People say it's going to break encryption, but
there are ways to stop that threat now.
How do we protect ourselves?
Our digital security was built for a very different era. Identity systems, cloud platforms, critical networks.
All of that is in jeopardy here.
We already see quantum computers come out of the lab environments into data centers.
You can be ready, but it's time to get ready. Welcome to Interconnected, the show from Equinix that explores the hidden infrastructure powering our connected world. I'm Glenn Deckhaser, and in our last episode, we explored the rise of quantum computing, how it's leaving the lab and starting to influence real industries. Today, we're looking at the flip side of that story, security. As quantum computers get more powerful, they could eventually make it possible to break the encryption that protects banking, identity, cloud platforms, and the trust that underlies the modern internet. So the big question becomes, if quantum threatens today's security foundations, how do we pivot, strengthen, and prepare the digital infrastructure that the world depends on? To help us make sense of what's real and what comes next, we're joined by Tom Patterson, a pioneer in cybersecurity and critical infrastructure, who serves as Accenture's global lead for emerging technology security. And back again with us, we have Petrina Steele, Equinix's global lead for emerging technologies. Petrina helps shape Equinix's global strategy around emerging tech, with a major focus on AI, quantum, and the ecosystems forming around them. Welcome, Tom and Petrina. Our digital security was built for a very different era. With quantum on the rise, people say it's going to break encryption, but that doesn't really tell the whole story. Can you frame up the current landscape for us on this? What's the challenge we're facing? How does encryption stand up in a post-quantum world?
Well, I guess the main quantum security risk is the fact that we know that a quantum computer will be powerful enough to create four main areas of risk. The first one will be around being able to crack public key encryption. So things like RSA or EEC, so elliptical curve cryptography, by using algorithms like SHORs, quantum computers can then expose sensitive data. They can expose communications, critical infrastructure like finance and energy that are currently being protected by these methods. And that would mean that things like digital signatures, secure websites, and VPNs would then be vulnerable. The second one, one could argue that quantum computers may not be at the scale today to crack encrypted data. And that timeline for large-scale quantum computers is uncertain. This threat, however, is immediate due to something called a harvest now, decrypt later. And that means that malicious actors or adversaries can collect encrypted data today to decrypt it later once they have a future quantum computer. And that can then threaten long-term data confidentiality. You think about public key encryption, you then think about the threat to critical infrastructure, power grids, financial systems, government communication, and even data centers nowadays, which are labeled as critical infrastructure, can face risks of disruption consequently. And then the fourth big one is symmetric key weakening. So today, what you can do with certain encryption is that it can be weakened by quantum computing.
Tom, would you like to break that down a little further for our audience? Like, what would quantum computers specifically be able to do that today's machines can't touch?
Yeah, this is a really important point. As you start to look at where you rely on public key encryption, where you rely on things like the RSA algorithms that were conceived of back in the 1970s and have served us well as a society for that long, when you look at what they do for the world, how they do for global commerce, how they keep people alive, how they keep things running, all of that is in jeopardy here. This isn't like a ransomware attack that's going to make your stock price dip for a week and then it'll bounce back and no harm, no foul. This is going to put companies out of business. It's going to jeopardize entire economic sectors. It's going to change who are the winners and who are the losers once all of the collective global adversaries have the power to shut you down. And that's really what we're talking about. Banks don't keep money in their vaults. They keep trust. And if they've lost the trust of their consumers, they're out of business. And all of that trust is insured by encryption. And that's really what we're talking about. That's why so many people are focused on solving this problem left of quantum. All the hard work that has to be done before that day that the adversaries can turn us off. It's solvable, and it doesn't even require, you know, bags of cash or wheelbarrows full of new gear, but it does require that focus to be done in advance.
So would you say that this security risk is a 2040 problem, or is this something that you're consulting with your clients to prepare for now?
So as Petrina said, there's something around where adversaries are stealing our fully encrypted data today.
Today, right.
In hopes of just holding on to it in a big farm somewhere, waiting until they can run it on a big enough machine and crack it. What they're mostly, for our clients, so they're mostly focused on starting to steal is not the actual intellectual property. It's not the secret formula for the soft drink or something. What they're stealing is access credentials, long-lived access credentials. So think about these certificates that you use that have a five-year lifetime on it, and that this is how you get in. That's what's being targeted now to steal, and what we call steal now, decrypt later, because that's what they're really doing, not harvesting these things. They're stealing them from you. And so we're seeing that those attacks are happening. And that's a real thing. That's happening all over the world. We're helping our clients mitigate that. And there are ways to stop that threat now, you know, in advance of quantum computers getting here. You can take that off the table. And you don't do it for everything, but you do focus on what is being targeted right now. So it's a today threat. It's also a today risk because we know it will take most organizations years to find all of their old vulnerable algorithms, replace them with something new, and then set up a new management scheme for their encryption. That doesn't happen overnight. And so we want them to start earlier because the advances in quantum computer are happening very, very rapidly.
Thanks, Tom. Let's get into the infrastructure side of things. Petrina, if you were prioritizing areas of risk, which part of the digital infrastructure, let's say identity systems, cloud platforms, critical networks, which are most important to secure first and why?
Well, I think all areas housing digital infrastructure must be analyzed for risk, particularly anything that touches critical or sensitive infrastructure. There are a few ways that organizations can prepare. I'm sure Tom has advised many. The main ones are around creating an inventory for cryptography, so identifying all instances where encryption is used across systems or applications. The second area is to really look at adopting post-quantum cryptography as soon as possible, right? Transitioning from quantum resistant algorithms often uses hybrid approaches. So using classical plus post-quantum encryption during the migration. And then the third area is to just plan for the future, develop roadmaps, allocate resources and train personnel. As migrating takes time, you need to engage with all your suppliers and make sure all your third-party vendors are also addressing these quantum risks.
Right. So when it comes to the infrastructure layers where encryption, identity, and trust actually live, what practical steps can organizations take right now to start preparing from this at an infrastructure layer?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that this doesn't require bags of cash and wheelbarrows full of new gear. Mm-hmm. Most of what you have will upgrade to post-quantum readiness by 2030. So if you buy it from a reputable vendor, they want to stay in business. They know that this is going to be required in the new decade. So there's a couple of steps that are really critical for clients to do now. The first one, as you start your quantum security strategy for your enterprise, you know, one of the things that we've learned is this is not a CISO problem or a CIO problem. This is a company effort. This is an enterprise-wide effort. So we really start to get everybody talking, you know, across an organization throughout our clients so that everyone understands that, hey, this is going to change purchasing. This is going to change legal. This is going to change all the different aspects of the business. So everybody's bought in and know what's happening. But the second thing that is really important to do right up front, because you'll save a ton of time and money and headaches, is you do a quantum risk analysis. You take your existing risk analysis, which every organization does on a regular basis, and you just add one more test. What if you can't trust RSA? And if your security is because, well, it's okay, this is encrypted with RSA, then you need to change your level of risk. And as security professionals, we all know how to deal with risk. You see a risky thing, you know there's a countermeasure for it, you figure out the best way to implement that, and you move forward. You've got to do that quantum risk analysis up front. So we spend a lot of time with our clients during that initial strategy phase to help them figure out how to apply those tests. You don't have to redo a whole nother risk analysis, but just go through your existing results and add that one test. And it's been eye-opening for our clients around the world.
So the answer is you can be ready, but it's time to get ready, right?
You can absolutely be ready, even if you can't change the encryption because it's buried in 6 feet of concrete under the ground kind of a thing. And you know you've got a risk now. So you can encapsulate those packets that come in and out of those devices with PQC. So you're in fact double encrypting, which does have an overhead cost to it, but you're taking that risk off the table.
Yeah, and I guess NISC, so the National Institute of Standards and Technology, they offer sort of guidelines and best practices. And they also highlight that they think that there'll be a cryptographically relevant quantum computer potentially available by 2030. But what we know today is that the time frame might be more condensed, perhaps faster than we anticipated, given the quantum community seems to be having breakthroughs with increasing regularity, and that end users that we see are more vested in trialing today, given how quickly AI has scaled and the opportunity offered by quantum AI and classical quantum combinations seems to be very compelling. So I think for us, we actually might see it be faster than 2030. I think there was a recent interview in the BBC where Google's CEO Sundar indicated that, I think he said, the next 5 years would be really exciting for quantum technology, and that he highlighted the advances made by Google's quantum AI team and said that he thought that quantum was 5 years away where AI was before it scaled. So I think that's going to be really interesting. And for us, we already start to see quantum computers come out of the lab environments into data centers. And so now that those are available and that we also have quantum compute as a service available, this further highlights that I think we've been looking at a shorter time frame than the 10, 15 years previously estimated.
Yeah, we've teamed with MIT to look at all of these factors. So it's not just the qubit count of these new chips, which is something that, you know, everyone sees is going up, but we're also looking at the influx of AI adversarially into that process. We're looking at the amount of noise reduction that can be done and error correction that can be done, all separate scientific fields that we brought together into a calculator. Our clients range between 2028 and 2032, with only one exception. All over the world. Everybody's targeting an end date somewhere in that. So 2030 is the date that NIST has said to begin deprecating the use of RSA. That sort of unlocked everybody moving forward. They no longer spend a lot of time asking me how quantum computing works or quantum physics works. Now they say, we know we have to stop using this algorithm in 4 years, you know, from when we're recording this. That's not a lot of quarters left. How do we switch? What do we have to do in order to go make this change? So you need to get started. You need to have a plan. And you need to work through it with as many accelerators and partners that have been there and done that to make sure you get through in time.
So let's talk about what a successful transition looks like, right? So if you can imagine a scenario where an industry, you know, enterprises successfully transition to quantum safe security, right? What problems had to be solved to get to that state?
When we do a strategy engagement with a quantum strategy engagement, we start with what they want to end up with. So they want to end up with a new cryptographic policy through it that supports their entire enterprise that can then be implemented by, you know, a smart new layer of crypto agility throughout the organization that can handle whatever the threats are, whatever the algorithms are, whatever the new tech like QKD or whatever is necessary. That needs to be an automated process. And then, so we know that that's where they want to be. When they do the discovery phase, for instance, which is the first phase after the strategy, and there's always findings of things that are unencrypted that they expected should be encrypted. And they just never knew. It has nothing to do with a quantum attack. But they, by going through the discovery, it's like, well, why is this in the clear? That shouldn't be in the clear. We also find a lot of under-encrypted streams that should be higher encrypted because of the risk that they pose. And so we're seeing a lot of benefits right off the bat to doing that strategy that have nothing to do with quantum. They're just managing their encryption better. Mm-hmm. 2032, you shouldn't be caring about how fast a quantum computer is. You should care about how well you're implementing your encryption. We're now looking at many, many, many new post-quantum algorithms. And you use one to download video, and you use another one for a high-speed financial transaction. You use another one in this country that needs you to use their brand. Mm-hmm. All of this has to be managed. That's why this concept of crypto agility is so key, because you cannot do this by hand. It's not one for one. It's one to many. So you need to bring in technology. And that's where AI can help as much as it's a risk on the other side.
Can you explain it to me like I'm a five-year-old? What makes a post-quantum cryptography algorithm work?
Yeah, so the problem can be best simplified by multiplying 3 times 5. We know the answer is 15.
That was a hard test.
Then you can take that 15 and tell me what are the two factors that multiply together to get to that 15. In the 1970s, every computer could multiply the two together.
Right.
But no computer would be fast enough to take that 15 and tell you what the two prime numbers were, assuming you had a big enough
right.
number. Now, that's been the basis for a public key cryptography all along. So all we're doing with PQC is using a different math problem.
Okay.
Because we know that quantum computers can solve that math problem instantly. It has nothing to do with quantum physics. It's just a different math problem where a quantum computer will have no advantage over it.
Okay.
So that's all we're doing. We're changing one that is vulnerable to one that's not vulnerable going forward.
Yeah, I love that. You know, as we think about, you know, what a successful transition would entail for companies to start building like towards a 4-5 year roadmap to ensure that they'll be quantum safe, phasing out any of that vulnerable cryptography and implementing PQC as soon as possible. I think one of the really important things to understand is that quantum isn't easy. So it's very, very difficult. And so they may have the cryptography, but even the ability to then add quantum to their arsenal is a multi-year journey. So I always see it as two sides of a coin. You have the sort of enablement side, which is, you know, how can we get access to quantum computers? How can we get quantum as a service? How can we enable these quantum computers to scale from the lab into more open environments, real life data centers? And then the flip side is, how do we protect ourselves, right? How do we protect ourselves and make sure that we are quantum safe, that any of our critical infrastructure, our financial systems, everything there is 100% reliable, that any of our distributed data or anything that's open is encrypted and is fortified. One interesting thing that we're learning from our quantum platform providers is in their model, when they sell a quantum computer, they also almost sell a quantum engineer with that computer. So that quantum engineer stays with that company for a period of 2 or 3 years while they work through how to use quantum and then all of the encryption methods around it. So that's why we also see now quantum encryption being tied to a lot of quantum compute providers as well, because customers not only want access to quantum compute, they also want to understand how to make themselves safe.
So, Petrina, what are you most hopeful for in regards to PQC?
That people will start implementing it, really. I have a lot of friends that worry about AI, right? They kind of message me and say, should I be concerned about AI? What about the jobs of the future, et cetera? And I think, yeah, we should be concerned about AI. We should be looking at guardrails and things like that. But I'm more concerned about quantum, because I think that quantum is going to land much faster than we anticipate. And that's going to put a lot more things at risk than AI will do. I don't know how you feel about that, Tom, but that's my sort of view from looking at the market for a very short period of time. You obviously have a lot more experience than I do in this area.
I definitely see a change. I mean, the quantum science is evolving very rapidly, but so is the reaction. This has gotten a lot more serious focus by enterprise leaders around the world in the last couple of years than it had in my first 10 years. So, you know, in the beginning, I would give talks at Davos and talk about, hey, this is coming. They say, wow, that sounds like Star Wars. That's really interesting. Now go away. Now that to the point of like, okay, this is going to impact us. What do we do? What are our peers doing? How do we get through this process? And there's a couple of things that we've learned that are just really valuable, I think, for everybody that's about to start. And one is, this is hard. But one of the truths that people haven't realized is that it's not just you going through this, your enterprise, it's everybody you deal with. So your entire ecosystem is also changing their encryption over the next few years.
Yeah.
And if you don't start talking to them and impedance matching now, they're going to build this and you're going to build that and you're never going to communicate. You're going to be cut off just because you both did the right thing. So adding that ecosystem coordination has really become valuable.
Yeah.
Looking at things like doing the discovery in stages. You know, there's a lot that companies can discover without buying anything new, just looking at their own PCAP files differently, looking at using their own scanners differently, and learning that before you start to bring in some outside gear to help streamline that. And then you've got to get tuned up on crypto agility. It is, you know, we've been doing it for 3 years now into our clients. And NIST has now come out and said this is the new push for the new year that you want to focus on. But there's so many good ways to bring some technology in and to make that real that are happening available today. Don't wait on a quantum computer. Don't worry that, you know, the bad guys aren't going to be able to afford a quantum computer and know how to build one. It's going to work like ransomware works. You know, somebody created this giant ransomware machine that's really smart and AI can go in and figure out everything. But then some schmo just uses a stolen credit card, uses it. That's how it's going to work with quantum. You can already buy, you know, it's $100 a minute to run quantum tests, run quantum code. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to own anything. You don't have to have one of those giant chandeliers or 500 degrees below zero kind of a thing. You just need to have a stolen credit card. So we know the adversaries are going to be there. The moment the power is there, they're going to be on it. They're going to be using it adversarially. So as Petrina said, start early,
yeah.
Get this thing done. You've got 4 years worth of quarters left to be ready in a best case.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, we've got clients that have moved that number up because they've got some big event happening in 2028 or some big thing coming up in 2029.
Yeah.
And they can't let themselves be derailed by an adversary.
So I guess, Tom, if you look at everything that you've said, and we've sort of entered into an era where people are a lot more open with their data, they are a lot more relaxed about things. Do you think actually the world in the future will be less open? Do you think people will get to a point where they start looking very seriously at who am I sharing data with and making sure that those connections are very private and encrypted?
So encryption is a tool. It's in everybody's arsenal. And encryption's been around, you know, for a long time. I don't really see it changing those kind of behaviors. I think what we're seeing is enterprises becoming more aware, understanding what needs to be protected and being able to do that. We're already seeing that the do-it-yourselfers are making mistakes. They're introducing more risk than they're mitigating with the new algorithms. So figuring that out, doing the interoperability testing with your ecosystem, looking at the performance differences, and there's whole new classes of companies that build like hardware accelerators just for the new PQC algorithms that speed it back up. Those kinds of changes is where we see the focus. I don't really see it changing normal people's behaviors.
Thanks so much to our guests, Tom Patterson and Petrina Steele, for helping us understand the path towards a secure, quantum-ready future. Stay tuned for our next episode as we explore the technology shaping our digital world. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. You can find Interconnected on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.